The devil cannot take your calling. The Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't change his mind when you lose your way. So since the devil can't take your calling, he attacks your confidence. Because if he can get you to give him your confidence, he can keep you from functioning in your calling. If he can get you to believe that you're raising your kids just like your mom raised you, and your mom raised you in a way that was detrimental and destructive, he can get you to repeat the patterns and miss the opportunity for progress because he stripped you of your confidence. You can have a great calling and no confidence. Joyce Meyer says, and she's coming for our Code Orange Revival, so maybe she'll tell you when she comes. She said, a believer without confidence is like a jet without fuel, sitting on the runway, all that equipment, but no power to get up above the circumstances. That's how Sister Joyce said it. Ask your neighbor, got confidence? Remember they used to have got milk? Well, I want to know, got confidence? Christians without confidence, it should be an oxymoron. I mean, the whole context of the gospel is confidence. If it doesn't make you more confident, it's not the gospel. If you ever heard something preached to you and you walked out feeling like crap, you didn't hear the gospel in the correct context. Sometimes you've lost your relationships because you've lost your context. That is, someone will do one thing to offend you, and in the light of that one thing that they did to offend you, you will walk away from the hundreds of things that they did that caused you to love them. The devil is a master of trying to create a crisis in your life by causing you to lose your sense of context. I'm laughing because a lady over on my right side was hitting a man. I don't know what that was about. But touch somebody and say, keep it in context. That's what you got to do, Eve, because the serpent will come up to you and say, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? And you got to remember, God didn't say you can't eat of any tree. He said, don't eat of that tree. But the enemy wants to take it out of context to get you to look at all the things you can't do and miss all the things you can do. And to get you to think that Christianity is boring or that it's about rules and regulations, to take it out of the context of relationships. But how many of you know that we have a great high priest whose name is Jesus, and the author of Hebrews wants to help you get your confidence back? But you can't have confidence without context. If I could, I would love to back up just a few verses and provide a context for this admonition where he says, do not throw away your confidence. See, that's a pretty powerful admonition, exhortation within itself. But when you give it its full context, it's even more powerful. Would it be all right if I backed up just a few verses and give you some context? I would love to give you the whole book of Hebrews. I didn't think it'd be good for us to do the whole book in one day. But maybe we could hit verse 19 real quick, where he's encouraging this community of faith that is in an identity crisis, losing friends because of their faith, suffering loss in their personal life and their relationship with their possessions because of their faith. And he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have, somebody shout it. Confidence. We have confidence. Now, we may not be accessing our confidence right now, but we have it. How many of you have a phone? How many of you are talking on it right now? Just because you have it doesn't mean you're using it. Sometimes we think we need more confidence when all we really need to do is use the confidence that we already have by virtue of the power of Christ in us. I feel like preaching a little bit today because somebody's going to get their confidence back by the time I put my microphone down. The Lord told me some of you have been losing your confidence, but he wants you to know that you have confidence to enter the most holy place. That was the place where only the high priest could go. And even he couldn't go in the wrong way or he wouldn't come out. Well, he would come out, but somebody would have to drag him out because the presence of God was so strong in the most holy place that if you didn't go in ceremonially clean, you would fall down dead in the presence of the glory of God. How many are glad for a new covenant? I think the whole top section of Blakeney would fall over dead if you had to be clean to come to church today. I think the preacher would fall dead on the stage if you had to be clean to come to church. And so he's talking about this new covenant, and he's excited about it, telling them, come on in to the most holy place. How do you come in? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. I was only going to read verse 19, but the context of this is so powerful. I think I ought to keep going. How many think I ought to keep going? Come on, this is the covenant, the promise of God. This is your relationship with him, described, defined, and elaborated upon. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. You hadn't always been faithful to him, but he's always been faithful to you. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so he's helping me, before he tells me to keep my confidence, he's helping me to see where my confidence comes from. Let's talk about where Christian confidence comes from. Because there are three things he mentioned in the text I just read, and they all start with the letter C. At least they will when I get done with them. Helps me remember them better. He mentions your conscience. It's kind of hard to have full confidence when you have a troubled conscience. It's kind of hard for me to get up and preach to you when I have things in my life, areas in my life where I haven't been obedient. You know, there have been times where I've been getting ready to preach, and before I could come out on the stage, I had to make a phone call and get something right. Because if I come up here and my conscience isn't clear, I don't mean that I have to be perfect when I get up. If that were the case, only Jonathan Josephs would be allowed to preach at Elevation Church. But I'm saying, some of you lost your confidence because you violated your conscience. And so now in relationships, you can't really look people in the eye because of what you're hiding. Because of text messages you hope your wife doesn't see. Because of unresolved bitterness and forgiveness that God has initiated, but you have not completed. The devil is really masterful at this, because if he can't get your calling without your confidence, he'll get to your confidence through your conscience. So then he will tempt you with something that he knows will defile your conscience. And now, because you have a defiled conscience, you have no confidence. To come into the presence of God requires confidence. The presence of God is the only place where your conscience can be cleansed. We just read it in Hebrews. He said that the most holy place, the presence of God, that place of surrender, that place of contact with God, that's the place where the blood of Jesus is sprinkled to purify your conscience. But if you don't have confidence, you won't come in. So now the only place where God can heal your conscience, you don't go into because you've lost your confidence. You stop coming to church at the time when you needed church the most. I'm gonna look at the camera because somebody's watching me online today. You almost came, but you felt guilty about something, and you let the devil tell you that you couldn't come. But the context of my relationship with God is not my behavior. It's the blood of his son. It was already shed. And when those drops hit the ground, mercy hit my life. Grace covered my sin. His compassion covered all the wrong things I had done, will do, and even the things I'm doing right now. so I can come on in to the presence of God with my head held high like a child of the King. I'm not a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. My spirit cries out, Abba, Father, I need your help. I'm in a crisis. Come on in. You hear the voice of God saying to somebody, come on in. Come on in. I know what you did last summer. Come on in. I know what you did in your 20s. Come on in. I know what you did at 9:47 a.m. Come on in. Touch somebody, say, come on in. We need you to know that the context of Christian confidence is not your ability to conform to a set of behaviors. That's the old covenant. That's bringing a turtle dove to church and sacrificing it. But we have a great high priest, and he is the context of my confidence. The context of my confidence is a clear conscience.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.